Oh, you can't use the hallway. I said, no, I used to always do shit for people. Now I'm doing it for myself.
Right.
You feel me? I had to put, like you said, heal and put that energy into me.
Into you. Amen. Amen. I'm going to keep that in there, too. What's up, you guys? I'm Aldrick Lee Kell, and today I'm here with my boy Juice.
You already know Juice Hugo. Yeah. Future Proof. Turn up.
We on Future Proof. This is Future Proof. Right. All right. So you ready to jump into this interview?
Let's get to it, man. Let's
you ready?
Get to
you
it.
Sure you ready?
Man, I'm right. Always ready.
I got some questions for you now.
And I got some answers.
All right.
Let's do it.
All right, let's start up. Tell us your story, man. How did you get started as an artist?
I started rapping, you know what I'm saying, with like my bros back in Michigan. Okay. Like, that's where I'm originally from.
Okay. I didn't know that about you, bro.
Yeah, born and raised Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Grand Rapids.
Same city as Floyd Mayweather. Yeah, like, that's where it all began. Like, you know what I'm saying? Where I'm from, it's like, you know, it's real clicked up. So all the guys that used to be with me, we used to be called MOE Band Team. We used to do shows, perform, and all that. But I really ain't have my, like, business part down. I was just making records.
Yeah, that's how a lot of us are in the beginning.
We just
doing it for the love of it. We ain't really got a mindset behind it.
I'm just trying to make music. I ain't trying to make money.
Right.
So eventually, you know, I just stayed consistent. Even if I wasn't dropping stuff, I would just keep going to the studio, staying consistent, you know, working on my craft. I want to say I finally took that step into, like, being serious and official. Like 2018, I want to say. Like 2018, I was like, all right, let me do this for real. Let me see what I can do.
Right.
Real quick. So I say that's when I really began my journey as far, you know, ASCAP and BMI stuff and getting my publishing stuff done. Right. And my name copyrighted and stuff.
Right.
Like that.
Amazing, amazing. So tell me, what inspired your career path and who and what were your early influences?
Now, as for my music, I have to say my pops, man. Like, growing up, he was the man in the hood with that system, that boom.
Oh,
like,
okay, yeah. That'll inspire you for real, for sure.
The deaf people could hear him coming through. You know what I'm saying? He used to listen to everything. I'm talking about rap from the current to the past. He listened to R&B all the time. I'm talking about gospel. Like, I listened to everything. So it really shaped me into like being having a wide variety of music, like selections.
And that's amazing. That's beneficial.
Early. Facts, you know what I'm saying?
Especially for that, you know.
Yeah, because you get to hear. You can from sample. Where
everybody
come
from. Yeah, you can hear samples too. When facts. You know what I'm saying? When facts. People put out new music, you be like, "Oh, I know that." Well, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I had to shout out my pops, man. Big Huss, man. That's what they call him in the hood, man.
So how was growing up in Grand Rapids, Michigan? Like, how did it shape your career?
It made me. That's how Juice became Juice. You feel me? And I ain't never gave myself no nickname. It's just something that got stuck with me as I grew up and stuff like that. When I was a jit, they used to call me Big Baby. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I grew up and I started getting more aware of what's going on around me, my surroundings. That's when I got the name Juice. But as far as shaping me, man, just, you know, everybody had their trials and tribulations. Had to deal with, you know, really not too much on the family end. My mom and pops, they did their thing. Like, I'll never sit up here and try to be like, oh, I ain't have my parent, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You feel me? They the ones who shaped my hustle.
Right.
Everything wasn't sweet, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
They taught me how to eat, you know
what
I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah. And that's important.
Important, you
that's
know what
important.
I'm saying?
That's important. I feel like if you don't teach your child nothing else, you need to teach them how to fish.
Fact, you know what I'm saying? Gotta have survival.
Gotta be able to survive.
You feel me? Like, wasn't it all the extra mushy dish? Oh, I love you. I ain't but it wasn't. It was through act. They taught me to act through action. You know what I'm saying? You don't got to talk about it.
Don't talk. Right. People will see what you got to tell them for. When they can see it, they
see it. You see what I'm doing. You see how I'm living. You see what's going on. Like, I ain't about to explain. Especially not in the circle.
Now, that's some juice for you, really. That's some sauce for you.
Don't get lost.
Right. So, all right. So, tell me, how would you define your personal style and creative approach?
It's kind of like jambalaya. You feel me?
I'm having fun with you.
You feel me? My style like jambalaya, cause you feel me? I was born and raised in Michigan, so that's where that's like the rice, that's the main ingredient. You feel me? That's where that's like all this come from. Uh-huh. As far as like how I can be relatable and where everything come from. But as far as like when you get the different seasonings and flavors, that shit come from like, pardon me, I don't know if it be cousin. But that came from my traveling. I done lived in Indiana, Went back to Michigan. Then I ended up moving to Atlanta. Then I went from Atlanta. Then that's how I ended up at South Carolina. After leaving from a JUCO when I was, you know, trying to get back in school and do right.
Right.
And, you know, say get my life back on track. And I will say, like, me living in all those different areas really made me, like, see, like, what's, like, the bigger picture.
Right, you feel me? Like, right.
People be stuck in their own small world thinking everything about them in a circle. But, man, this world will keep moving, bro. You know what I'm saying? Through death, good times, bad times, like, it don't stop. So I have to say, just me being well-traveled really put me where I needed to be as far as making my music.
Got you. Good. All right, so what were the biggest milestones or turning points that helped you grow your career or business?
As far as like my music, because when I keep saying as far as music and stuff like that, I want people to know I got two businesses.
Yeah, right. Let's make sure we clarify that.
And like also,
so tell people about your business, your entrepreneurial endeavor.
I'm a security guard by trade. You know what I'm saying? I have a security company. I had just do some new licenses and got that stuff down. So it's Langstone Event Services. That's the name of my company. And my partner Taz, he's me and him work hand in hand on that. We provide event services for anything you'll possibly need, from security, whether it's unarmed, armed, parking lot attendees. We locked in with licensed bartenders. So if you need some licensed bartenders, we can have them at your event. If you need talent, you know what I'm saying?
Juice got the juice, y'all.
I'm well connected with a good variety of talents as far as being able to get you at least in a conversation with them as far as pricing and stuff like that. Like, I can't really book them without
knowing
the budget, you know what I'm saying? But that's what I do, man. I like to let people have a good time, make people feel safe, protected. And then it helped that I got my own music, so I like throwing that in there, you know what I'm saying?
Nice. All right, so tell me, what's a project or product you've worked on that you're particularly proud of?
Right now, I'm gonna give you two. One for security is my partnership with NotS TV.
Okay,
it's the That's number big. One entertainment app.
That's big.
I'm gonna say I don't like bringing up this other name, Zeus, but that's been our competition, but we lately been outperforming them. Shout out Big T-Lo.
Kilo. I've been hearing people talk about NotS TV. I've been hearing that.
It's the wave, man. Deja. Shout out all y'all, man. Them the faces of the network. I have to say, that's one of on my security side, that's my my biggest accomplishment. Being able to stay consistent with them, provide good services to them. And they make sure I'm well compensated on that. And then for music, one of my more recent ones, it's called X's and O's, featuring an artist named Chaotic. She does some vocals on it for me. But if y'all haven't heard it, go check it out. It's one of my bigger streaming songs. It's a vibe. It's something you could play at any occasion. And I have to say, that's my baby right now. I'm pushing that.
Okay. All right. Where can we find that?
All platforms. My artist name is JUIXEJUGO, no space. That's Juice Hugo. And the song is X's, N-O, apostrophe S.
All right. So tell me, have there ever been any surprising moments where you learned something unexpected about yourself or your audience?
All the time. Cause speaking of X's and O's, coming from where I come from and, you know what I'm saying? Stuff that I generally like to do, that R&B vibe wasn't something that came natural to me.
Right.
So when I finally started to hit that wave and people started giving me that positive feedback, I'm like, oh, okay. I can do this. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? I ain't got to necessarily be the best singer, but I can vocalize, harmonize, and stuff like that. So I have to say.
And then you got the influence from your dad. That is that old, like, because I got that school. Same thing from my dad. Because certain things come on, and I'm like, wait a minute, why I know this? You know what I'm saying? It's like it encoded in me, you know what I'm saying?
Everybody else looking like, what you dance for?
Bro, I'm like, bro, I think my daddy was playing this when I was two or something, because I know it. All right, that's word. Are there any failures that ended up being valuable lessons for you?
I had to say, my first attempt at going to college was when I was in Indiana. I'm talking about some between the partying girls and lit. What have you. I was, you know what I'm saying, living my life. Right. And I failed on the academic aspects and some behavioral stuff, which, you know, where as a young man growing up, you just got this ego shit you got to check as far as developing and becoming a better man, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. A better person, because women go through it too. But I have to say, me failing there and then going back into the work world, because I've been a part of the work world for a long time. I had my first job at 13, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, so, go ahead, yeah.
I've been working for a long time as far as making sure I kept some money, you know what I'm saying? Outside having to do anything unnecessary, you feel me? I try to keep my record clean and all that.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So, that's commendable, especially as a black man. Like,
appreciate that.
Like, especially somebody come from Grand Rapids, Michigan, because I know it was wide open for you.
Man, what? Man, that's why I say shout out my mama.
Just walking outside, you can get it.
You feel me? Shout out my mama, shout out my pop. I'm talking about, they taught me it's a million ways to make some money. Like, you ain't got to just...
You ain't got to go down that road.
I ain't going to say it's lazy, but most people only do that because they be put in situations where they got to. So I'm going to say I was blessed to where I ain't had to take it too deep down that route.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, yeah, I have to say, yeah, that school, man, but me going through that them hardships made me realize you can't quit. You got to persevere type shit, because it ain't going to get easier.
Facts.
You quit, stop, keep going. It don't get easier. You got to do it.
Facts. So tell me, how do you define success for yourself and your work?
Growth. Success is growth.
Amen. I like that.
You can lose and learn lessons. You feel me? And then them lessons put you in a better place.
For sure. Every loss is a lesson.
On me, for example, when I was living in Atlanta, I went to the studio. I ain't gonna get too much detail about it, but I went to the studio, I used a certain beat and did a song, producer praising me for it, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't have my paperwork and stuff down, right? Didn't do my leasing on to get my stuff right like I was supposed to. Kind of find out, as I'm getting ready to make that move from Atlanta to SC, I'm getting ready to, you know, start dropping my music. It's I'm in love with the coke. That's my beat on the radio in Atlanta.
Oh, dang.
I didn't get the copyrights to it. Somebody else ended up beating me to it. Cause I ain't doing my due diligence.
Right.
Not saying, I had a song better than Love Coco, nothing like that. Not competing with bro, shout out bro, you know what I'm saying? He did his thing with that. But I'm just saying, it just taught me you snooze, you lose.
Right.
You feel me? You gotta do it.
You gotta put your thing down.
Fact, cause I like.
Nail it down for
fact,
sure.
For
somebody else take it. Amen, I feel that. All right, so tell me, since you have been living in the Carolinas for a good bit.
About 10 years now.
Yeah. So, okay, we can give you some Carolina questions. So how about this? What are some unique challenges you faced as an artist or entrepreneur in the Carolinas compared to other places, especially since you've lived in other places?
I guess it was getting used to that southern draw. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, getting used to, like, being, like, I ain't gonna say not comp, like, it's when you from a big city, like a fast city, it's real competitive in that, like.
Oh, when you say southern draw, like the southern slowness, yeah, the slow down.
And I ain't gonna necessarily say slow, because there's a lot of people with motion.
With
you
motion,
know what I'm saying?
But yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm not saying in that aspect, but just in the, like,
overall.
Live your life, take it easy.
You ain't
gotta rush to everything. Just do what you're supposed to do, and you can make your gradual path down there. Like, everything ain't gotta be a sprint. You feel
right.
me? You know, like they said, the turtle won the race.
Right, the turtle won the race.
So that's what being in the South really, like I said, persevering. Like, that's gonna get you, like, anywhere in life. If you stay consistent, you're gonna win. Like, that's from
amen.
You know.
Amen. I received
manifesting.
That.
You know what I'm saying? That's all that is.
No, for
staying consistent is another form of manifesting, because it's going to get you where you need.
All right. How do you manage limited resources in your work?
I try to be as efficient as possible. Because for me, as far as music,
When I say resources, I mean funding, tools, and connections, things like that.
As far as music, my that'd be mainly financial. So it'd be about making my dollar stretch. You know what I'm saying? I'll have an engineer, but he'll also be my engineer who masters. He'll be my producer. So that way I can, you know what I'm saying, kind of save on the ticket where I can give him this. First, I have to pay everybody else.
Because you can pay him a bigger lump.
I can pay him a sum. First, I have to pay everybody else the same amount.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
pay him $750 instead of having to pay everybody $500 apiece.
Feel me?
Yeah.
So, and then with that, and I also learn how to be more proactive with my craft as far as I do my art. If you see anything that I drop, cover art, I did that myself.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I learned a lot. You know, I'm a mass crime major.
I might need your help. I might need some logos done. I got a lot of productions coming up, so I need logos, basically imagery for all of them.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna hit you up.
I can show you how I did it, and I can basically show you the little cheat code, because it's all it's ways around everything.
Yeah.
And then as far
put me on.
I got you. You know I do. And as far as security, it'll be time, because for example, I might get booked for it'd be time and then personnel, because I'll be booked in Atlanta needing 15, 16 people to be here. But at the same time, I got my businesses that I'm partnered with in South Carolina where they need about 4 or 5 guys.
Right. So being stretched thin, basically.
Yeah, so I got to make my time count. I got to get up, I got to check my schedule, make sure
everything's in place.
You know what I'm saying? In place. You know what I'm saying? Because if Jerome gets sick and it's money I'm missing and somebody else missing.
Might have to pay a little premium to somebody to get them.
Yeah, to
incentive
get them
to get them to get there.
Gotcha. I'm trying to tell you. Oh, you know something.
Oh, no, I already know. Yeah. All right. So tell me, what role does self-doubt play in your journey and how do you overcome it?
I had to say, self-doubt is something I beat a long time ago through sports.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's a good place to get that out.
Get your confidence up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I ain't really had to deal with it too much. I always had a good...
In adulthood, pursuing my
dreams.
You're blessed. You're blessed.
I learned a lot of stuff hard the way to early. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I didn't let stuff defeat me. You know what I'm saying? As far as trying to take if I don't do something, it's because it's my choice, not because of no other
outside factors.
Yeah, outside factors. Facts.
Okay.
So, with that being said, sports, I was I went to Benedict. I'm an alum. I was the captain there for 3 years of the football team. I was also back in high school. I was all city athlete as well, as far as football, wrestling. I was Golden Glove boxer. I did it all, you feel me? And I was elite in everything I did, because I took that time to make sure, I ain't gonna lose to nobody. I ain't gonna doubt myself. I'm gonna work hard enough to the point where if somebody beat me, it's only one reason: they work harder.
All right. So that's gonna parlay us into the next question. Have you experienced any moment where you almost gave up? If so, what kept you going?
It was always little things throughout my life where it's like, hey, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? This
right.
is what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got a little, I ain't gonna cap, when I lost my granny a couple years back.
Same for me, I don't mean to cut you off, but that's one of the factors I think played into my stepping back from media and taking a beat and really, refocusing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had a lot of depth doing around pandemic, right before pandemic. So, I get that.
You know what I'm saying? Losing her was one of the, maybe I just needed to just focus on working. She had a lot of my goals in life, growing up, was to do stuff with her, take her places,
right.
trip. She
mm-hmm.
was well-traveled. She been to Israel, all type of places.
Right.
So one of the things I want to do when I finally got, got some money, was take her places. And it was I ain't never got to do that, but it wasn't nothing where it was I had to be defeat myself. It just more pushed me to get through it even more because, like, I got to let her see me win.
Right.
You feel me? So.
Amazing. All right, so what's the most difficult feedback you've ever received and how did it shape you?
You ain't going to believe this. I was a kid. I'm talking about, like, I could have been, like, 8, 9. So, boom. I had one of my close homeboys. We went to school together, middle school, all through middle school and stuff like that. My dog, Billy. You know what I'm saying? This is before I really got into sports. You know what I'm saying? And his dad one time, you know what I'm saying? I used to come over all the time, kick it, play the game. And then just, when he had to go play football, I'd just be like, oh, I'm gone.
Okay.
You feel me? So, like, he had asked me one day, like, man, like, that's all you do is play the game, bro? Like, you ain't going to do nothing? Like, you got all this time in the world, but you don't want to push yourself and nothing like that? Right. This okay with you? And as a kid, I used to, like, why this grown man talking to me like that? But at the same time, I used to, like, it also triggered me into, like, well, I could do more. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I.
Nine or 10?
Bro, I was young.
This was your uncle?
No, this is not my uncle. This is my best friend dad. Like,
your best friend dad? Okay.
Yeah, he got on me.
Uncle.
He was like, you know what I'm saying? He got on me. Cause, like, you know what I'm saying? I used to be there all the time. Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you like, eventually, like, you know how it is when you're growing up with a kid. Like, everybody don't get to meet the whole family like that all the time. But when you start actually being around somebody, like, well, you with my son all the time, you see what he doing, what you doing.
Yeah.
Like, you ain't about to bring him down.
Right.
But like
that,
I said, where
part.
I'm from the south side of Michigan, Grand Rapids, Michigan. And it's a real gang-populated area. So where we was at, it was like, what you do, if you ain't doing nothing, they ain't like, people ain't want their kids around the wrong kids.
Regardless
of who your daddy, mama is, they like, you know what I'm saying? You got to be up about your business.
Business,
young,
right. Be about something.
Or at least not on the wrong path. It was a lot of people
focused
doing
on something, so focused, we know you ain't fucking focused on the wrong thing.
In fact, what was your mindset? You got to have a mindset. So I had to say back then, on me.
That's amazing that you come from a community like that. Even though there was rough aspects to it, the people seem to have kept y'all together.
Yeah, take
and
a village.
And push y'all towards the right ideals and beliefs and stuff like that.
Right.
All right. That's what's up. And that's crazy because we're coming into community. Let's see. I'm trying to think whether this is even worth asking you because these are Carolina questions.
Go ahead, try me.
All right. How has the creative/business community in the Carolinas supported or hindered your progress?
I'll say mainly it's been a lot of support because since I've been down here, I ain't been nothing but what's the word I'm looking for? Basically a hard worker. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Since I've been down here, nobody has ever had a reason to be like, to say nothing negative outside of petty reasons. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, as far as character and how I handle myself and my work ethic, it's like, it's unmatched. Like, I ain't really trying to compete with nobody, but I done did a lot of stuff coming down here in the 10 years. Most people who've been living here their whole life ain't even reached yet. You know what I'm saying? And not even on being cocky, just on some, like, that just my mindset anywhere I go. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to do me, get what I need done, and provide, especially once I ended up having my son. And that's what also kind of, like, tied me down to the Carolinas even more after, you know, I finished my time at Benedict and graduated. Because, you know, I don't want to do no long, I done seen the long distance stuff.
Yeah, you need to be present.
I need to be there. You know what I'm saying?
Your son,
he called
right?
me. Yeah, yep, my son. Like, he called me. He's 6 now.
Nice, great.
So you
really stepping into fatherhood now
because
he getting a mindset of his own.
Yeah, he's grown.
Yeah, he want to do what he want to do. You got to redirect
him. Smart.
All right.
Boy, smart. I love
That's
it.
That's good. Okay, so tell me, are there particular people, organizations, or networks in the Carolinas that have been instrumental in your journey?
The Benedict College community. Shout out them.
Shout out to BC.
Special Professor G, if you're listening. I had to say also my bro Joe Smooth, my manager and business associate, friend, He been helping me as far as pushing myself musically and business wise.
All right.
And my homies, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't kick it with too many people. And the ones I do, they're like, man, make sure you like you ain't messing up. Like, like I said, be about business and handle your business.
Right. Get to it. All right. So, what does collaboration look like for you in this region? Do you find the community open to working together?
And you know, I'm gonna say this because this is like, and not just this region, but I'll say this is pretty much like a kind of like a universal thing.
Right.
When you new and you come in, it's kind of easier. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like that because like what they said, I think they said it in the Bible. Like, said, you know, they hated on Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Because it was his own people.
It was on his own people.
When people see you all your life and they get this picture of you, even though you a kid messing up, it kind of gets stuck and engraved.
In their head.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when you go somewhere
new. I just had a relative say something about when I was a child. And I'm thinking in my head, like, that was so long ago. And I was a child.
But they holding you accountable.
Yeah, but I'm like, I was a child.
They holding me accountable for
what I did as a child. Right.
So you know what I'm saying? So you know how that goes.
Who I was as a child. Like, really?
Fact. And then, so what I learned is, it's like, as long as you... you know what I'm saying? Keep true to your character. You know what I'm saying? You ain't BSing nobody, and they can see the proof. You know what I'm saying? It's pretty much I say easier. It was easy for me to collab down here because, like, a lot of people didn't know like the mess ups and the screw ups I done went through.
Right. I can feel that part too, because like people do take notes of your L's.
They love
it.
And they whisper to your
right.
your victories.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
What I'm saying?
So, I got you.
You know what I'm saying? I keep note of that too. You know what I'm saying? When I'm starting to give back, I know we ain't getting as much.
Where the place of that. Yeah, for sure. All right. What's one thing you wish the Carolinas had more of to help artists and small businesses grow?
If anything, I want to say if we had like more like black expos, you know what I'm saying? Like where we
that's basically what the Carolina Come Up is supposed to grow into.
But see, I was just about to say that, but like how your platform can be the beginning. You know,
yeah,
like
that's initially what it's supposed to be. Yeah,
because when it comes down to it. It's not a lack of black businesses. It's a lack of connectivity. You know what I'm saying?
And that's what the Carolina Come Up is supposed to do. It's supposed to teach us a sense of unity, synergy, taking pride in the people that are next to you in your community and believing in each other and each other's talents and seeing them as worthy and pushing them forward. Yeah. That's one of the most important part is pushing them forward.
Fact.
Like we were saying, like, you know, it's nothing to share people's work and stuff like that. Because I feel like... sharing your work brings something back to our community. People feel that people of our community are talented and valuable.
Right.
Each one of us that goes into the world or the world sees as talented and valuable is a check mark for everybody else behind you.
Right.
So,
or who you can bring with you, you know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, yeah. It's not even just bringing them with you. It's that once... people start seeing people of talent coming out of here, they start looking in that area.
Yeah.
They start looking in that area. Like, let me.
But you know,
because it might be a bag out there. So if he was a nasty bag like that, then it's somebody else out there. And you know that's how people with money move. They want to invest in something. They want to find that next bag, that next big thing.
Yeah, because it was like that for, I want to say a lot of artists, I learned a lot of artists got a lot of play down here from basically the big buzz that Atlanta was having. You know what I'm saying? South Carolina, a 2-3 hour drive.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So the artists who would go back and forth and stuff, like, they seen big gains from it because it was their community in Atlanta, I want to say, they like the definition, especially in the music game, they like the definition of pushing each other forward.
Yeah, it's them in New York that inspired me to develop, like, the Carolina Come Up to, you know, create that. You know what I'm saying? And not me just teach, but us together as a community, holding each other accountable for supporting each other and pushing each other forward.
And I like that down south because where I'm from is primarily white people. Like, it's, you know, you got your rich and poor, it's not enemy, like the middle class, but for the most part, it's mainly white people. So all the black people will like, we'll be together in a sense of area, you know what I'm saying? Like, but not necessarily like community. You get what I'm saying? Like, we know each other, this, this, and that, but people don't always be so prone to be trying to work with each other.
Right, yeah, right, right, right. They don't be ready to collaborate.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
All right, so what are your personal or professional goals for the next year?
Business-wise, with the music, is to get out more visuals, keep releasing, staying consistent on my promo. And then with my security is the no let-up. I'm really about to make sure I'm more physically fit, you know what I'm saying, so mm-hmm. I can handle the workload that's going to be coming right up. Because that TV
and intensity, that, yeah, because
TV game. Because no
I saw something on social media where you was all tangled up. What was going on with that?
Man. All right, it was a little situation. Mind you, it was, you know, one of the situations where they just, you know, capping. But
was that now on that TV?
Yeah, that's not that
like
TV.
I'm about to say it looked like a rocket.
It's currently on one of our currently streaming newer series, Mean Girls, season 2. We shot that in Atlanta.
Okay.
And we had a little hiccup with a girl basically trying to cry out wolf because another girl got a hold of to some attachments. Not a weapon, but some attachments that looked like a weapon.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? But we handled that. It was just when it happened, you kind of see my face go dark. Like, because when you do security, you got to have like a switch in your head. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? It's like people be calling me crazy sometimes, like how fast I could flip it and turn it off.
I mean, you know what that's saying? Necessary. It's necessary. Because people can switch it and turn it off at any moment.
Any minute. You feel me? So when I hit the switch, like I get in the go mode and it's like, okay, find the threat, eliminate the threat. You know what I'm saying? However, the best way, efficient way possible. You know what I'm saying? God forbid anything happen dangerous, like for anybody's health, but it's the masses over the few. You know what I'm saying? When you dealing with that security game, unless you're doing like a private detail, you know what we call executive protection.
Yeah.
You pretty much worried about a general population, whether it's the patrons of the club or the patrons of like an event hall, whatever you got going on, you got to make sure that it's the many make it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So if it's the one person risking the many, you got to handle that one.
Right. Yeah, you got to get that one out of there.
Facts.
All right, so what about the next 5 years?
Next 5 years.
Bigger, better?
I better be retired.
Yeah, I was just about to say, you don't want to be in there, do you? I was about to say, you need to be behind a desk, right?
Man,
just facilitating, right?
I'm trying to tell you, I need to be facilitating.
Just
retired,
facilitating.
Collecting a check. Five years, that's what I'm
just
playing.
Just popping up to make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Everybody doing their job.
God damn, I know that's right.
I'm collecting my money.
And what about music?
Music, man.
You want to be retired from music? Nah, we need to be on the stage with music.
No. Music, I ain't going to probably never give that up.
Give me something good in the next 5 years. Come on now.
Music, I hope to have a billboard by then, a couple billboards. Yeah, a couple, like, you know, some stuff. They ain't got to be
promoting
top
10, what? Just
top,
your albums?
Top 100, my music, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, billboard.
Yeah, billboard, like,
oh,
make
you
a billboard.
Wanna, you want to make billboard. Yeah, okay, like, okay.
You know, top 100, you know what I'm saying?
That went over 50. My head.
No, it's all good. It's, you know what I'm saying? It's all good. Everybody pretty much compete for them spots. So
yeah.
If I could, in them next
if you
five
could
years,
just get
I,
in there.
I could crack it.
Just crack in. Man, top 100, huh?
It's on the pop.
Just in the top 100, right?
Man,
I think that's commendable. Like, that's
because
it's
a million people, and then it's a million people already in the game.
How about this? You could probably crack that in the next year, though.
Oh, that's the goal is always shit to make, hopefully tomorrow.
Tomorrow, I know that's right.
You feel me?
I know that's right.
But be you know
me
saying?
Too. I hope you crack it tomorrow too, because I got this interview.
I'm trying to promo for both of us.
Right.
But yeah, right. Hopefully it go the way I want it to, and we can get up on it.
All right. So tell me, how do you stay inspired and continue to innovate your field?
With my music, I always stay current. Like, I always try to make sure I'm listening to, even if it's not my what they say, cup of tea. I'm always make sure I'm checking out the competition.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, it's a million people doing music, and then it's a couple thousand joining every day. You feel me?
Right.
After a couple thousand, you might get, like, 10 or 5 who make something good. You feel me? That you got to compete with because it's catching on, it's catchy, it's starting to rise up. So now you guys say, all right, so what's this new stuff that's current that everybody liking? What's this, it's a new style, is it some beats, is it the engine, like, you know what I'm saying? So it's all, you gotta stay current. So otherwise you ain't gonna
know what the
really
trends are and what what people really tuning, tapping into.
Like the hard thing for me to get into is TikTok. Like,
oh, a lot of artists say that.
It's real kiddie, but at the same time, it's real like convenient for you if you do music.
That's what I was just about to say. I've always said that, even back in the day, like long time ago. I always used to be like, why don't you just make a little kids album, like, and put it on, like, it don't gotta define you, but you could just or something like on. I see where this rapper had this little thing on YouTube that was, he was rapping the alphabet and doing this type of thing, and it has so many views.
Oh yeah.
I was like, well, in the meantime, between time, make you feel money. Me? And then if you got kids,
Hey, I done did ghostwriting for some gospel artists and I done did background stuff for like a bunch of
people. How do you get into ghostwriting though? Because I wanna do that. I wanna write raps for people.
It's really networking. You know what I'm saying? Being in them, like, booking in them studios.
Yeah.
People got to know you can rap.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, it's really
well,
just,
I'm Gabby. So, yeah. Well, maybe I should just do a freestyle. Okay.
You get on there. You go to, you find you a studio. You lock in with them, an engineer, producer. And then you got to let it be known. Because a lot of people don't really let it be known that they in that field. They just think somebody might just going to ask them to write for them.
You know right. Well, you're right. Right.
Because
right.
That ghostwriting stuff get real.
Finicky,
like,
right.
You see how the Drake go through. You know
right,
what I'm
right,
saying?
Right, right, right.
Between A, the people end up breaking their NDAs and telling on themselves.
Yeah.
People wanting more credit
than what
they going
to
get.
No, I just need the right check.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Now, and that come through, you know what I'm saying, work.
Right. Building that rapport.
Yeah, building that rapport with your studio, and then
And then people being known for partisan, like, you know how he known he, but now he cutting records.
Yeah, because that's how it takes when people start figuring out, oh, you done did all this, because people gonna Google, like, people gonna check it out.
Right.
So if you dropping your own songs while you working on their songs, and people start looking up, oh man, who is John such and such on Drake album? They say he a writer. They gonna go look you up. All
right, yeah, for sure. So tell me, if money and resources weren't an issue, what's a dream project or business idea you'd pursue?
I'd do a whole project with some of my favorite artists, whether from the past to now.
Like a sample?
Like,
project,
yeah, like some, like, even if I get some AI, like, I know I can, like, not really saying AI, but if I could somehow, like, find a, like, if nothing was an issue and I could just find some undiscovered verses from, like, Biggie or Pac,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Not necessarily Pac. I you know what I'm saying? I respect the motion and stuff like that, but I was more a Biggie fan. And then there's some artists, like, you know, Lil Wayne, Biggie. I even, you know what I'm saying? Like, I listen to a lot of Drake myself. You feel me? Now him and Kendrick beefing, so I don't know about getting them both or nothing, but you know what I'm saying? Little, something like that. I'll just do like a big project with a lot of my favorite artists. And then security wise, I hope I'll be doing something like, I want to be making some free money. Like, that's my goal with security.
Right.
Free money.
Do you like executive protection? Do you like that?
It's a mean to pay the bills. You know what I'm saying? So,
but it's kind of
it's something like that's cool because you build a good, like, the networking there is like elite. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Because you're meeting people of a,
and you in a like personal like
yeah,
space
like personal
with
space
them.
With them. So you're meeting people on the next like on a higher tier in life where A you at and trying to give
and they gotta depend on you too.
They
gotta kind of like
they gotta know you.
Yeah,
you
they gotta make that personal connection.
They gotta get comfortable with you for the most part. Otherwise, you get replaced.
Yeah.
You feel me? They don't like you. They just get
or they feel like, you know, he a little dry with me. Like, I don't know if I could trust him.
Yeah,
like,
I feel like he's trying to set me
yeah,
up.
Like, he feel like, you
know. And that's what I tell a lot of people. People be wondering how these artists be going through it. Like, it's security. Like, security. Like, if something gets snuck in a club or an artist done got backdoored, 9 times out of 10.
Somebody let the door open.
That's why you got to have good security because you don't know.
And
who
if you ain't paying them right, somebody else will pay them.
Yeah. But
right. If you don't pay them right,
the
somebody
book, yeah.
If somebody wants your ass,
yeah, the good
they
ones,
will they
the
will
good
pay.
Ones don't look for work, the work find them. You feel me?
Right.
So especially with executive protection, it's just I don't like how I just have to look over my back all the time. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That it get real nerve-wracking. Like, I suffer a little form of PTSD when I hear, like, gunfire or something like that.
Yeah.
I done been in a lot of situations like that. So.
Right. A hazard of the field, huh?
What? All right. You never know when it's going to happen.
All right, so tell me, what's the most significant personal sacrifice you've made to pursue your dream?
Time with my son.
I knew that's what you was going to say.
Time with my son.
I was hoping that's what you was going
to
say.
Man, what? Because I'm trying to tell you, it's been a lot of... not saying, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm very present.
Because I realize you do move a lot, especially with the security
thing. So I done missed the birthday. I only missed one birthday so far, you know what I'm saying? But I done missed a couple holidays. I'm not real big on holidays, but at the same time, I know the meaning of them to a child.
So I try to make sure I'm there for him
mm-hmm. in that aspect. But it'd just be time with my son and my family back home in Michigan. You know what I'm saying? Especially, I just like, you know, taking...
Family man.
It'd be time. I'd be wanting to be taken up there because he don't really get to see his Michigan family.
Right. I didn't think about that aspect
of
it.
So I'd be trying to take him there as many times as I can.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So with the work, though, them times I might be able to... You know what I'm saying? Because I got a little paper saved up or whatever.
Right. Your parents are still with you, right?
Yeah, they still alive. Both my parents still alive. Yeah. Just the timing be off. So I'll be, you know what I'm saying?
Excited to see him.
Man,
is that their only grandbaby?
Not for the first 5 years of his life, yes.
Oh, wow.
But see, my younger brother just had a child.
He just had one?
Not even, he's starting, the attention getting
dwindling down. So, especially since he don't even beat up the ride.
Yeah, so... I say he's spoiled though.
Yeah, like, I already know. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? They ain't gonna let up on him.
Cause he's still the only grandchild on his mama's side.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, he don't know what the word share mean for.
Right.
That's something I had to instill in him.
Oh, you're right, yeah. Right. Cause you're not like that. You're not that type of guy.
I grew up, I had one brother, my brother Jordan, you know what I'm saying? Fly guy was good. And then outside that, though, I had I'm talking about so many cousins at grandma's house.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Sleeping on the floor, everybody.
I wasn't the oldest, but I was like the leader. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we ain't doing what I want to do.
I could believe that. You got that personality.
If I don't do what I want to do, then I'm about to just go do something by myself.
Oh, now.
Like, either y'all going to do what I don't do,
either y'all gonna do
it by myself. You know what I'm saying? It was like that, so.
Facts.
Like I said, rest in peace, my granny, man. I was there every weekend. Like, we used to be, that was my dog. Like, before I moved from Michigan.
Right. You answered my next question because it was, how do you navigate balancing your creative business goals with your personal relationships and family life? So, you already did that.
Yeah.
So, tell me this. What does a typical day look like for you, and how do you stay productive?
My sleep schedule messed up. Like, you know what I'm saying? For the security, I work late hours.
Oh, okay.
Whether I'm doing personal for a client, because most of my clients are in the entertainment industry, to the point where they outside all night. And then even when I'm working my venues, they be open to 2, 3, 4 in the morning.
Right.
So I don't sleep like a regular person. I get like probably about a good 3-4 hours in here and there. But I say... I start every day, you know what I'm saying, hygiene. You know what I'm saying? Got to smell good, look good, feel good. If I could squeeze in the gym, I get it in. I ain't been as dedicated as I used to be. You know what I'm saying? Being an athlete and all.
Yeah.
So that's something I've been, my new goals. You know what I'm saying? Get back right.
Right.
But outside that, my music, I don't never stop that. I treat that like a on-the-call job. Whenever I feel inspired, or I feel like I need to like look for a beat, I just do it. Like wherever I'm at, I work for myself, so I don't really got to punch in no clock.
Clock, right?
I'll say any other time I'm with my son. Like I'm trying to be with my son when he out of school. That's about it. That's my day for real.
Gotcha.
Work my family and then I don't, like I said, I treat it like a job, but most people say like a hobby, like you know what I'm saying,
yeah.
But I treat it like a job. That's how I end up getting my, like, you got to treat something like what you want it to be.
Right.
You want music to be.
That's where I'm at now with this. Like, this got to, I got to make this work.
It got to work.
Yeah.
Ain't no if and, it's going to work.
Yeah. All right, so what advice would you give to someone who feels stuck in their creative or entrepreneurial journey?
Always remember to, like, take that me time. because you'll be like, especially as an entrepreneur, you'll be so pressed on about where that next dollar gonna come from, to the point where like you'll forget about little shit about like your self maintenance, like
right. And then, I don't mean to cut you, but when you focus on your self maintenance and stuff, it seems like the other stuff manifests.
I'm trying to tell you, like. It happens because you put yourself in that center where, like, your energy good.
Yeah.
Your energy, like, for example, like, you got to have that.
Law of
like,
attraction type
home,
thing.
You got to have that home base.
Like, right, okay.
Whether you living with somebody else or whatever, but you got to have that secure home base.
Mm-hmm.
Because without that one, you're going to be frantic.
Right, like, right. Sleep, make sure your place
ain't. Where my stuff at.
Yeah, ain't cluttered.
Yep.
Right.
You got to have that. You got to have that source of income, whether you keep a nine to, like, me, I used to keep a 9-to-5. Like,
right.
I ain't one, whether I was getting it one way or the other, I kept me a job, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what that consistency where I ain't never had to make no rash decisions when it's going to put me, you know what I'm saying?
Right. You know, in a minute, you're going to have the funds to move forward with what you're doing.
Move forward, fact. I keep a hustle. So, yeah, that's a, like, this is a, but remember to take that time for, like I said, your self-maintenance. You'll see, like, when you do that and you make sure, like, you good, it's going to spread out. Like,
yeah.
It's gonna, you know what I'm saying? You can't give no energy when you ain't good.
Right. That's real. Yeah, I feel that. Are there any personal habits, rituals, or routines that help you stay focused or grounded?
See, I'm from Michigan. I'm saying that now because when this podcast aired, and I be in Cali a lot, so... herbal remedies.
I knew where you were going.
That's something that keeps me real grounded. Lately I've been trying to think like tea though, using this tea. That's how it's really supposed to be used.
Tea is good.
You're supposed to use your herbal and tea.
You steep it?
Yep. Just like
I'm gonna have to try that.
Regular tea. Cause that's that boiled water, how it activates, and you still go ahead and drink your tea. It don't be the same effect, but it does something similar.
Give you a mellowing.
Mellow, you feel me? So That's one thing I always use as a source of balance. I don't drink too much because drinking, it bring out the worst or I ain't gonna say always the worst, but it bring out that unfiltered side of people.
Yeah,
it get them
too
in situations,
loose.
Where they might not be the
shouldn't
best,
have been in that. Yeah,
it
release your inhibitions.
You feel me? Like I think I'm gonna punch that guy.
Right.
Hey. I don't need that in my life no more. I have a little drinks, victory drink.
It will put you on a level. Like I will. Like yeah, I get with you if
yeah,
I need
fact,
to, my
it,
guy.
It'll get hit, especially doing my job. That's my rule. Like I ain't drinking on the job. Cause, you know, it's little things that'll set you off when your mind altered.
Yeah.
Like I'm sober. You step on my shoes.
I was just about to say the shoe in the club is one. I done been on here to see in the club before, bro.
Listen,
like so I already know.
And
like,
I work in it. You feel me? So
right.
This happened to me a million times, no cap. Right. You feel me? So the shoe stepping being bumped into, mind you, I'm one of the biggest person in the room wherever I go in. You feel me? So it'd be like in the back of my head, I always be like, I know you seen.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But necessarily, but people be in their own mind. I don't ever blame nothing on malice
that
can be contributed to ignorance. You
know
what I'm saying? So I always go in the mindset that person just, like, he ain't know what he was doing. And that's easy to do sober. Drunk or out your body, out mind altered, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You might get a little bit, you know, aggressive with somebody. So I try to keep unaltered mind.
Got you. All right, so tell me this. What's something you've learned about yourself through your work that you didn't know before?
That everybody can't make music. You know what I'm saying? Like, I used to think, like, you know what I'm saying? And then, like, I mean, not how I rephrase this. It's one thing to, like, put a hook, verse, hook on a track and then put it out. That's a song. But to make something that somebody can relate to, that's replayable, catchy, and do it consistently, whether or not you're getting the big streams or views. But for me to be able to go into a venue and they playing my song and I'm hearing people rap my words that I don't know.
You're right.
Like, okay, I'm doing something right.
Right.
You know what I'm doing. I'm on that path.
Okay.
So I had to say that I got a talent. I got talent outside my physical attributes.
Right. Okay. Well, that's what's up.
Because really, I would, Like, I got blessed, like, to a certain extent to be able to get to a size where I was able to be successful in security. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? This genetics is something you can't buy.
Right. All right, so tell me this. How can our listeners connect with you, support your work, or get involved with your journey?
Like I said earlier, Juice Hugo, JuiXeJugo, all platforms, all my social medias, from Twitter to Instagram, Facebook, if you still got that, TikTok, Juice Hugo. If you need my, that's my Apple Music as well, Spotify, everything one. You know, and like I said, that's something I learned through doing my business.
Right.
You can't be having 1,000.
Too many. Yeah. Mine's the same across
everything.
And you
want everything. Somebody to be like, well, I can't find your
news. And the thing is, I'm going by my government name, which is Aljig Lekel now.
Yeah.
But I'm not changing it. It's Alkane. That'll just stay, because that's actually the name of my media company, Alkane Media Entertainment. Yeah. I'm going to just leave that there because it's what birthed me. Like, that persona birthed me into wanting to be in front of a mic, and you know, it didn't birth me into wanting to be in front of a mic. It's the first way I came in front of a mic. You
that
know what I'm saying?
First alias.
It's like, and I'm gonna say this: like, I feel like Al King protected me for a little while
until I
was able to confidently be Aldrick and feel safe as Aldrick Lekel. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I was hiding behind Al King for a long time, so I'm going to keep him as the umbrella in case it rains.
Like, when you in that, like, the entertainment industry, that alias or stage name type thing, it's like, it's more than just like, yo, another name. It's like a persona.
So Al King is definitely a persona.
And not saying like, oh, you faking this.
Yeah.
No, it's just like, this is me when I'm at my best.
Best. Oh, you know yes. When I'm really
in mode and I'm in tune.
In my mode,
line,
yeah.
You know,
that's
like,
who
this
I,
is how
yeah.
I am. Now, I don't be like this normally because I'll be like, you know, everybody got them back.
It's
them
a difference,
head,
yeah.
You know
it's a difference between just regular day to day and how you go about just, you know, engaging with people.
On,
but when I gotta turn that on and be a presence.
Like,
you gotta be, when you're doing things in entertainment, you have to be a presence.
Yeah,
like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
I got you. Yeah. So, all right. If you could ask the audience one question, what would it be?
If I could ask the audience anything, I would ask them, why y'all not streaming me right now?
Like, I know that's right.
Go play that music. Like, go ahead and tap in. Like, it's really here. Like, I'll be, like, even when I get on my trap vibes, I'm talking to you. Like, I ain't just one of them mumble rappers or nobody who gonna just be like, oh, drill, kill. No, you about to learn something when you listen to my music. Like, this, and it's gonna be like, oh, this is hard. Like, you know what I'm saying?
All right. Well, I want to thank you first for coming, and it's an honor to have you here. I appreciate your professionalism.
Nah, I try to be.
I was impressed by your professionalism, your questioning about the your curiosity about the podcast, what I was doing, and the mission that I was behind. Mm. And I appreciate your support. I appreciate you coming out. I'm going to be pushing whatever.
Already.
Whatever you do, I'm behind it. Moving forward, I'm Aldrick Lekel.
This is Juice Hugo.
And this is Future Proof.
Let's go.
See y'all later.
Turn up.